Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
He knew every good song. Sad news from the world of music. We lost proto-punk singer David Johansen at age 75. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And Patrick, this is a big one. You know,
yeah.
Certainly in terms of impact, right? So not somebody who ever had great commercial success, although interesting, I think he's kind of well known as a character, maybe even more than for his music in some way, but certainly the influence was huge, right?
Absolutely, the influence of his first band, the New York Dolls. You know, I knew it was a big influence, but when I started looking into it more specifically, it's kind of incredible how many tendrils reached in different directions. Not only, you know, sort of immediately preceding the New York punk scene that exploded out of CBGB's, the Dolls were playing in New York City in this 72, 73 at the Mercer Arts Center. And, it was a natural kind of progression to CBGB a couple of years later. I think being a Kiss fan, a lot of people said that Kiss copped a lot of the moves that they got from the New York Dolls. They took the New York Dolls would dress up, obviously, in more female-type clothing or drag a little bit, but Kiss took, obviously, the costume thing in a more intense direction, but a lot of their sound was created in the early 70s in New York City. So both Kiss and Aerosmith, I think, are, you know, big ones. And, of course, at the end of their career, the Dolls were managed by Malcolm McLaren, who dressed them up in red leather and hung a hammer and sickle behind him and, you know, tried to get attention that way, but that didn't work. But then he immediately went back to England. And Vivienne Westwood had been making clothes for the Dolls for a while and went back to England and put the Sex Pistols together. So just right there, right. You know, it's huge.
And I think that's key. We're talking pre-Sex Pistols.
That's right.
That this was going on, you know. So when you think about that punk revolution, you know, this was like sort of the, you know, kind of undercurrent that was already happening in music before that. You know, kind of exploded. You know, I think if you go back and listen to the New York Dolls now, and I was just listening to the debut album 1973, you can't believe it's 1973, actually, when you listen to it. It sounds like it's, you know, maybe at least, you know, 5 years too soon. what they were doing. But it's really cool because even though you hear what, you know, you hear that proto punk or what, you know, kind of became punk, it also has a certain looseness to it.
Yeah.
That is kind of Stones-ish too. So it's like really an interesting period of time. When you know, in terms of what they were doing, and you read David Johansen's obit, he talks about it very much like the punks. He's like, we were just trying to be like Little Richard, you know?
Yeah, and, exactly right.
You know,
yeah.
It was all about taking rock and roll back to that, you know, the roots and the rawness and the energy that made it great, you know, early on, right?
Absolutely, well said. And you know, there's some there's been, you know, it's amazing for a band that was only together in their original incarnation for about 4 years or a little bit less, how much archival material has come out with the New York Dolls. I mean, you can look through all this stuff, but there is a collection that has demos on it, and all the covers the Dolls are playing are exactly what you said. It was like Chuck Berry, Little Richard, you know, all these blues, old blues songs. That was their foundation, and they gave it a New York City energy that really was, you know, as their album said, it was too much too soon. There was no,
right.
They had selected critical champions, but the records didn't sell despite being on a major label, and they didn't really gain much popularity, you know, outside of New York City. But kind of like, I guess, the old saw about everybody who bought the first Velvet Underground album started a band. A lot of people who were way into the New York Dolls became influential in the music scene. So
totally. And you know, I would say, I remember one time, a long time ago, we did an episode, or maybe it was a series of episodes even, on the concept of great track ones on debut albums, right? Mm. Like, were some great ones where, like, the first song that you, you know, ever hear, right, on the first album by a band, you know, what are great examples of that? And I think Personality Crisis would be one that you would put right there, man. I mean, that thing just blows you away when you listen to it.
It does. That's the definition of leaping off the vinyl when you drop the needle on that record, man. It's just incredible. It really, really is. You said, I mean, it's hard to believe that record was 73 because it still sounds so fresh and relevant when you listen to it today. It's really mind-blowing.
So I came to the New York Dolls a little bit later on, I think. So I'll just say, I think if I remember correctly, my first experience, my first impression ever of David Johansen, you know, no surprise here based on my past musings on music and musical experiences, but MTV.
Yes.
In the early 80s, when MTV came on and they didn't have a whole lot of videos to play, they played a David Johansen video quite a lot in the early days, which was an animals medley. Do you remember this?
Really? Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah. No. That's wild.
And it was just a performance video. I mean, he probably was lip syncing to the studio, but you know what I mean? It wasn't a conceptual video in any way. It was just, you know, him singing, and it was a medley of like three animals songs, which at the time I wasn't even really familiar with the animals, you know. I was just a kid, you know. And so
yep.
What do I know? You know, and so in some ways that was cool too, as an introduction to the animals. But I remember that, and I just remember this like sort of like this guy who just looked cool, and he had this intensity to him and the way he was singing and everything. And so it definitely left an impression. Then he does this Buster Poindexter thing in like the late 80s,
yep.
which right. I didn't honestly pay that much attention to, but you knew it was there because it was just, you know, it was just a big, you know, it was a big production, you know, big character, a big production or what have you. Right. And I think everybody heard that song, Hot, 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 you know, it was just all over the place. And then he was in a Bill Murray movie, Scrooged.
Right. I remember that.
He has a fairly significant role in that.
Yeah. And again, he the ghost of Christmas Past or
one
I can't
of
remember.
Them.
He was
a cab driver. Yeah. And again, he sort of just jumps off of the movie screen, you know?
Livewire energy. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, totally. So then, you know, as I'm getting into more and more, you know, punk and alternative as a listener and getting older and, you know, doing a lot of that, what you do, which is go backwards. And mm-hmm. find stuff. I, you know, at one point I picked up the New York Dolls debut album on CD and just was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like it instantly like became one of my favorite records just right away, you know, and remains so to this day. And again, you know, like I was saying earlier, you almost can't believe that it came out the year it did. Like it just doesn't quite compute in your mind the way you have these timelines kind of set up, right?
Yep. And I'll tell you this, the first time I ever saw The Who was on the It's Hard tour, and the year was 1982. They played at the Capitol Center, and the opening act was David Johansen and his band. And I was like, get off the stage, man. Like, who are you? I didn't know the New York Dolls at the time, and I didn't know David Johansen. I was just like, this is wasting my time. I want to see The Who, you know? And then I came later to realize, wow, that was stupid, man. You saw David Johansen, you know? Only time I ever saw him, which is, you know, kind of wild. I know Buster Poindexter played a lot. And of course, I've seen him play on TV, and we were discussing before the recording started his appearances on Letterman. But yeah, it was crazy that he opened, I don't know, 7 or 8 shows for The Who on the US tour in that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty wild.
You know, I think, there's another interesting thing about him, and, you know, I think he was very well respected by musicians, influenced a lot of musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I think even today, I think I was just texting you earlier that, you know, not that long ago, within the past year, I saw The Hives.
Yes,
and
right.
When you see David Johansen, you're like, oh my God, the, you know, The Hives are like copying that whole shtick. You know what I mean?
It's, yes.
And I don't mean this as a dig in any way. I'm like, no. I'm happy that, you know, somebody's figured that out. Like, but there's a really interesting thing with David Johansen that he is a born entertainer. You know, he gets up on stage. He's, you know, he's not doing shoegaze or something like that. Like, he is out there to entertain the people. But yet, mm-hmm. there's also an attitude that's almost like, if you don't get it, that's on you. You know,
right.
I'm, you know, I'll give it my all, but, you know, I'm expecting something. I'm expecting a certain understanding from the audience of what I'm doing.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think he had that attitude from the very beginning and never changed it, which was amazing. Because I was going to mention, too, that in the early 2000s, and this, I think, was when did the New York Dolls did stage a reunion, right? And
they did. And in the 2000s, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right at the turn of the century, he formed this group called David Johansen and the Harry Smiths. And I think the band was named after Harry Smith, who compiled the Anthology of American Folk Music. But the music is very blues, and a lot of covers of old blues songs from the 50s and 60s. And it's got like a real driven kind of a sound. It almost sounds like a, you know, an old Muddy Waters record or something. Some of this stuff. It's really good. And there was a self-titled album and another one called Shaker. He only did two albums with this group, but they're very, very good. I couldn't find it on the streaming, so I had to find it on my own copy on a CD to listen to. But you're able to track it down, I highly recommend that stuff.
Going down to Rosie's, stop at Fannie Mae. I'm gonna tell Fannie what I heard her boyfriend say. Don't stop me talking, cause I'll tell everything I know. I'm gonna break up the scene to find baby, cause somebody's got to go. Well, Jack gave his wife $2, go down and get some marketing. Gets out on the street, old George stopped him. He knocks it down and blackens the eye. Get back home, tell her husband to lie. Don't stop me talking, cause I'll tell everything I know. I'm gonna break up the signifying, baby, cause somebody's got to go. She borrowed some money to go to the beauty shop. He honked his horn, she began to stop and says, come take me, baby, around the block. I'm going to beauty shop where I can get my hair soft. Don't stop me talking, cause I'll tell everything I know.
That's so cool. That is so cool, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, it is really, really cool. And, you know, like we were talking about, he had that commitment to that style of music. That was his inspiration for such a long time. The other thing I noted down, and this always blew my mind, was when I was really getting into the Smiths, learning about the band and reading about the band. When he was in his teens and early 20s, Morrissey had a New York Dolls fan club. And he would advertise in little ads, like it in a little classified at the back of the music newspapers for other fans who wanted to join his New York Dolls fan club. And he often said, you know, that's one of the things that kept me sane, you know, in my youth was the New York Dolls and being so dedicated to them. So pretty amazing, too.
Yeah, that is quite amazing, right? I mean, again, it goes back to that influence.
Yeah,
it was vast. You know, it's just vast.
Yeah.
I can't find it right now, but there was some quote in, or there was some line in the New York Times obit about how David Johansen was also sort of an encyclopedia of music. You know, going back to your comments about his work with the Harry Smiths, right? And and that he sort of knew every good song was the line. You know, like.
Yeah.
You know, he had that kind of brain that just knew, like, kind of, you know, was able to separate, you know, what was worthy of people's attention and what wasn't, but was not a snob about it, really. He loved, the low art just as much or maybe even more than the high art, you know
what I mean? Yes. He had a radio show on one of the satellite radio stations for a while. I listened to it a few times and I always enjoyed it, but it was like that. It was like wildly eclectic. It was like Stranded in the Jungle. It swings from one extreme to the other, you know, within the show. So definitely an inspirational figure in that sense too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's a lot of great music out there. I mean, there's the early New York Dolls stuff. You know, you mentioned a lot of the David Johansen solo stuff is really eclectic.
It is.
And really interesting. And then I think even some of the Buster Poindexter stuff, Like, I don't think I appreciated it at the time, but like now being older, I can kind of get where he was coming from with it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And there, and there was a, as kind of sticky as it was, there was like a real appreciation, I think, for the music that he was doing.
I agree with that.
So,
Yep. And that's, you know, when I heard and I started doing some research and looking at stuff, I was like, that's the period I really need to go back and listen to more of. Because I, like you said, I was aware of him doing it, but I didn't really ever pay that close attention. I, it was exactly the same for me. So I feel like in the coming weeks, that's something I want to explore more. Because I know there are a lot of covers on there, which is always interesting, and all that stuff. I can't wait to check that out.
Yeah, I think he always approached it with a real love for the music, and I think that that's important to remember. He, you know, so okay,
that was at the heart of everything. Yeah,
yeah. All right. Well, rest in power, David Johansen.
Rest in power, and let's hope we don't have to do too many more of these rest in powers. We seems like we've been doing a lot.
Yeah, I know.
Past few months, so hopefully, unfortunately not.
So okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see here. Tomorrow we're going to do a bracket update.
Yes.
And for the '80s album madness, and then and then we'll get back to new music stuff, right?
No, we're actually finished. Oh. We didn't get too much in January, but I have a very exciting announcement. We are going to have myself and Paul Hayden sat down last weekend and recorded an episode or episodes on the pre-disco Bee Gees. So all the Bee Gees stuff before they wore the chains and had the white suits and the chest hair. So kind of take it all the way up to Nights on Broadway, and that's kind of where it ends. So I think people will enjoy that. Paul did a lot of research and has read several books on the Bee Gees. So it's going to be, it'll be good.
Okay. All right. All right. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
All right. Very good. All right. I guess that's about it. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Undine, this girl from the ocean. Oh boy, she put in on such a display. She rise up naked with such a commotion. And there's only one thing she did say. I come here to rumba, to mambo and soca. I come here to dance, dance, dance the whole night through. I come here to kunga, rapini bumba. I come here because I want to be with you. Traveling through customs, she'd have just seaweed shells and skin to declare. All I could say about her costume is that she brought a new meaning to bear. I come here to rumba, to mambo and soca. I come here to dance, dance, dance the whole night through. I come here to kunga, rapini bumba. I come here because I want to be with you. As a boy, I read in Paracelsus of this sexy sylph banished to the sea. To retrieve a soul, she must get a husband. And now the sounding girl is looking right at me. Oh, boy!
Buster is really kind of great because I can, like, get away with murder as Buster. You know, Buster did it. I didn't do it, you know?
So and that really works with your wife?
It does. Well, not with the wife. With the police department, it works.
I would see.